The manager at my hotel in Cambodia was apologetic. Norodom Sihanouk, the former king, was dead, and the royal palace was closed to ordinary visitors. But the killing fields were open, he said reassuringly, as was S-21, the school the Khmer Rouge turned into a detention camp in 1975. And thus I learned that death can sometimes get in the way of tourism, and sometimes tourism is all about death. This is Sandeep Roy in Phnom Penh.
I'd like to thank you, first of all, for coming to the Chiang Ak Genocidal Center, known to many as the Killing Fields.
The Killing Fields remain the most famous landmark on the death tourism circuit. 17,000 men, women and children were executed here in under 3 years. Now puppies play in the grass, birds chirp, even the audio tour sounds soothing, despite the grisly story.
The Khmer Rouge did not shoot people here. Bullets were expensive. Victims knelt in front of pits that would soon be their graves. Then they were beaten and hacked to death with whatever was cheap and available. Axes, hoes, cat axles, bamboo poles, hammers.
Ironically, the ultimate memorial to Cambodia's tragedy is now run by a Japanese company. It pays the government $15,000 a year and keeps the revenues from tourists like me. Some say we've sold the killing fields, says a guide. Brigitte Sion, who edited the book Death Tourism, Disaster Sites as Recreational Landscape, tells me that S21 and the killing fields are not really for Cambodians.
S21 and the killing fields are really meant to be sites to attract tourists, sites to attract foreign officials and somehow show them how Cambodia is in the process of acknowledging its past history.
In reality, many of the people who held high offices with the Khmer Rouge are still in power. The uniforms have changed, and they want to ensure the trials don't dig too deep.
There's one motto, if you will, that keeps being hammered and hammered over and over, and that says Pol Pot and his genocidal clique. And it's indeed an easy way to focus all the attention on one man and his close staff. And this way it distracts the attention from the fact that a lot of people were involved in the Khmer Rouge genocide.
The real survivors have become tourist attractions. Bom Mang was one of the handful who made it through S21, the high school that became Cambodia's largest security camp. His wife died there, but his painting skills saved him.
And one more about how Pol Pot came to power.
He said that he painted Pol Pot original painting of him.
He was told if his painting of Pol Pot was not lifelike, he would be killed. Now he's remarried. He interrupts his lunch of rice and grilled fish to introduce me with a toothless grin to the woman he calls wife number two. I'm the one who feels awkward, tiptoeing through shards of memory, posing with pyramids of skulls, eavesdropping on death. Cambodians seem more matter-of-fact, but they have to be, says Sion.
Cambodia is a very poor country, and the mentality there says, I have to survive. I've survived the genocide, now I have to survive the dire economic circumstances.
Perhaps this Buddhist country has more faith in karma than in courts to deliver justice. Outside the palace, where monks prayed for ex-King Sihanouk, throngs of children fought with each other to sell little black and white mourning ribbons.
Prepare you buy one more.
Thank you. The business of mourning never stops, especially in a country where death itself has become a tourist attraction. This is Sandeep Roy in Phnom Penh for KALW.